This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Okay, I just about have a studio set up. I'm still missing a few things.
Just about being there. I can't see you right now.
Exactly. Hello. Hello, and welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Si. How are we, Chris?
I'm all right. Yeah. Recently it's been cold, hasn't it?
It's been freezing.
That's my main complaint.
Although I promise hell hasn't frozen over, we are actually putting an episode out.
Oh, good. Oh, good. About time we do as well.
Yeah, we're a little bit late. Moving took a lot more than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah, seems like it.
This is all my fault.
Well.
Yeah. But we are the Kinky Video Game Podcast.
Yep.
What are we talking about today, Chris?
We are talking a bit of transformation.
Indeed.
Yeah. So
now more
on the fantasy side.
More fantasy
exactly.
Transformation than sort of, I'm going to turn you into this boy.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess there could be a little bit of that. We get into some of that idea.
Oh, there will be a bit of that as well, yeah. But it will be mental, you know, mentality changes, and some of them will be completely just in your mind as well.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, Chris, what's the tea?
The tea today, unsurprisingly, I'm going to...
Sport
corner today. I want to talk about homophobic chants from football fans.
Oh. I mean, are we surprised? But oh.
We're not surprised, given where FIFA have just hosted the World Cup.
Well, exactly. Of course they were going to embolden it.
Yeah.
It's almost like we told them it would happen.
Yeah. And FIFA, I don't know what to make of that. Have been post a fine and a one-match ban for supporters for the Mexico national team for homophobic chants in the World Cup.
Wait, no, hold on. Wait, what? Run this past me again. So... they've held the World Cup in one of, I mean, it's subjective, but in one of the most homophobic countries in the world.
The most homophobic regimes in the world, yeah.
Where there were multiple issues.
Yep.
Because people were being turned away for even just the appearance of support for LGBT causes.
That is correct.
Where even there wasn't any intent in some of these cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just someone who happens to have too many colours on their shirts that they happen to be wearing or something.
And yet they're going to... FIFA, go home, you're drunk.
I don't know what to make of that. Like, what do you want?
There's that little part of me that goes, is this just PR?
Well, yeah.
Did we realise that we kind of fucked up? I don't know. This is just... I've reached the point with FIFA personally, and to be fair, this is me with a lot of sport, but particularly with football,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, I'm not sure the institution's ever going to change in any discernible way.
Depending on how high up you're talking about, it's my response to that, I would say.
The clubs are always going to say and do the right thing, because the money comes from the fans and they need to keep the fans happy. It's the actions of the organisation as a whole and the fact that the clubs don't hold them to it that tells me everything that I need to know. That's my opinion.
Yeah, It really depends on how high up you're talking about. There are various Yeah, obviously there are Premiership football clubs who are doing their thing. Like Liverpool have just kicked out a few of the fans for being homophobic. There are various problems in Premier League games with homophobia against Chelsea Football Club, in particular, in the weird Rent Boy chant. Like Rent Boy is not.
I mean,
Rent Boy is not a not a. It's not a negative thing.
I mean, it's not a negative thing, and it's not an LGBT only thing either.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sorry, you get straight rent boys, like, support our sex workers, you know?
Exactly.
But like,
but yeah, there are lower levels as well who they can be very supportive.
Here's my thing, right? Here's my thing. The lower levels are not the ones that have got the power to do anything. I'm sorry, they're not. The upper levels, where you sit there and go, oh, Chelsea in the Premier League, etc. None of them are turning around and pressuring FIFA to sort the fucking act out. None of the top flight clubs are sitting there and pressuring the international bodies to turn around and go, sort your fucking act out.
I'm not sure how
much they're able to... And they're the ones with the power to actually force that change.
I'm not sure they have the power to force that change. They can't really? Afford... No.
Because they the bottom line is there's no league without them.
They can't force FIFA to not let them play in the particular cup competition, let alone, you know.
I say to any you what I've said before, things. If one goes and the rest follows, there's nothing left for FIFA and for any organizing body. And we've seen this time and time and time again, where it's all lip service. I'm sorry, I'm at that point. It's all fucking lip service until you make it fucking hurt. And that means it might hurt you in the process, but you have to do something if you have that level of influence.
You see, I still don't think they do. I really don't think they do.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Yep.
I mean, you come at this from fundamentally different positions. But yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, FIFA's actions. I mean, I'm not saying it necessarily is, because I have no evidence in either direction. But it feels like it's just a PR stunt. It feels like, oh fuck, we have to be seen to have done something.
I mean, everything is a PR stunt. And Mexico, obviously, is not the first penalty they have handed out to various national teams with similar actions.
I mean, it's not.
From
We've
supporters.
Seen them hand similar out before. We've talked about them handing out similar before.
Exactly.
But it's just on the back of.
On the back,
the
actually,
whole debacle.
At the World Cup, that's
exactly.
that's just, you know, beyond ironic for me.
Exactly.
All right, so that was my Sportsful Corner and tea. What's on your tea, Si?
My tea's kind of the same, you know, draft of... healing, draft of spite, whatever you want to call it, that just about every nerd has been sipping from for the last few weeks.
Okay.
Dungeons and Dragons, anyone?
Oh,
or
that.
Or as Hasbro would like to call it, fuck you, pay me.
Okay.
I stress, they have not actually come out and said that. That's just the general impression I have of them.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, the fact that they were thinking of changing that at all was...
I mean, should we just quickly catch the audience up that may not be aware of what's gone on, and I'd like to join you under that rock, please. So Hasbro are the parent company of Wizards of the Coast, who are in turn the parent company proprietor of the Dungeons & Dragons gaming system.
Yeah.
I think that's about the right way round of things.
Yeah.
And basically they announced, what was it, about 2-3 weeks? Well, in fact, no, they didn't even announce it. Let's
they didn't announce
right.
anything, yeah.
They didn't announce it. Somebody leaked it because
exactly.
they had sent a form of, it was an NDA with terms to creators regarding a change to the license under which a lot of Dungeons & Dragons custom content is made.
Yep. Which, if you don't know, is everywhere.
Yeah, like everything from Critical Role through to various different board game mechanics through to various different movies, books, yeah. Like you yeah. name it, it's there somewhere more than likely. It's that ubiquitous.
Yep. And people, there are people who built their entire livelihood over this mm-hmm. open gaming license. The fact that they can build stuff on this system without any... Well, there is some restriction, but, you know, it's basically almost free-for-all, you know.
Yeah, it was essentially you can play in it. I mean, I'm going to go as far as to say it definitely was, because it wasn't something I'd read cover to cover, but my understanding was it was essentially... Like, you can play in our sandbox as long as you don't claim that our sandbox is yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is something called the Open Gaming License, and they introduced changes to it that would have meant that they can... Well, okay. The way it was read, and according to several legal opinions that are not ours, they mm-hmm. these are third-hand legal opinions, so take them with the appropriate amount of salt, it would have meant that Hasbro/Wizards of the Coast/D&D, however that all breaks down for companies, could have taken the intellectual property and characters and, you know, various mechanics and things that you made and claimed them as their own.
Yeah. It's also they are requesting royalties, which they have never done before. They are also... giving themselves the ability to tell a creator who is using this license that they have to remove all the content within 30 days.
I mean, so this is a weird thing, and I've seen a few different legal opinions on this. Let me correct you on one thing and go, they're no longer saying that. No, like, okay, that's what they were saying, let's be clear, because, you know, I don't want to get sued by Hasbro because I don't have that money. but there was, like, elements of all of that. There is a small thing where under the original agreement they could have turned around and revoked the license for certain individuals, and this was the other guiling thing, because they were claiming to make all these changes for the betterment of the community and to protect those most vulnerable, when in reality they were just being scumbags, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
However, the shakedown of this has been that they have acquiesced, shall we say.
Sure.
About as graceful as a wingless swan that suddenly finds itself in flight. The open gaming license has stayed. And not only that, they have made core components of D&D 5th edition Creative Commons. I'm not sure which license it is exactly, so I'm going to like stop before I get myself into a quagmire. But it's a form of open license that apparently is not possible for them to take back. But essentially, the core rule set for the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons is in there.
Yeah, and it all came from like a grassroots campaign of users of, well, players of Dungeons & Dragons, like massively unsubscribing from their systems. And
I am under no doubt that this has probably cost them probably well into the hundreds of thousands, if not touching the millions at this point.
Oh, yeah, and there will be a lot of players who will not go back to Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, that's one company's financials I'm fascinated to see when it comes round. It's just like, oh, yeah, we fucked up.
Yeah. It's honestly, like, Dungeons & Dragons is probably Hasbro's biggest moneymaker.
Well, this is apparently... And this, again, this is all third hand. Apparently, that was part of the reason they tried to make the changes they did, because apparently executives are on the record saying that it is not as monetized as it... I can't remember if it was as it could be or as it should be.
But essentially, they weren't happy that they were making enough money off it. Because when you think about it, it's not actually that monetized as for as big as a franchise as it is.
Sure.
They put out, if I remember correctly, they put out one or two books every quarter.
Yeah.
That's not that much in the grand scheme of things when you consider the size of some of the properties they have.
Yeah, that's true. It's a system that, like, is almost a monopoly on, you know, tabletop role-playing.
It was.
Yeah. I mean,
Pathfinder, etc., now sat there rubbing their hands going, oh my God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Was it Pathfinder? I think it was Pathfinder as well. Apparently sold something like 8 months' worth of game engine. Yeah. Like, I'm going to call it game engine because I'm thinking video game terms.
Kind of.
Like, basically the rule books. Yeah, they sold apparently what they expect to sell in 8 months in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they're completely out of print, apparently. Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I don't think I've ever seen a massive company of that size squander so much goodwill and so much, honestly, brand loyalty in that short a period of time. I think the only company that's come close to it is EA's sense of achievement with Star Wars Battlefront. That's the only time I can remember a corporation making that monumental a misjudgment of their player base.
Yeah. Yeah. They clearly thought they would get away with it. They clearly thought staying quiet for a few days, it'll blow over, and it really didn't. Mm-hmm. And then they were still trying to bring out a new version of a revised OGL, which they eventually had to completely abandon.
Well, apparently they opened up a consultation that lasted all of about a week.
Exactly.
And was overwhelmingly the equivalent of fuck you and fuck the horse you rode in on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And knowing most D&D players and that ogre too.
But yeah, the key thing is, like, for me, like, this has come from a grassroots general players. That's what
I think. That's the key thing as well. General players.
Yeah,
because you had like big players in the space, like Critical Role, etc. That they came out and said, "Hey, we support the community," but they never actually said anything against Hasbro either.
Exactly.
However, I have seen it pointed out. And I'll be fair to, you know, Matt Mercer and co, because, you know, I like their stuff. I will be fair to them. I have seen it pointed out. There is a chance they have a non-disparagement clause because they currently have contracts with Hasbro, Wizards of the Coast, etc.
Mm.
So there is a chance that might be why.
There is a chance, but I will go back to Sports for Corner. That's
I agree.
FIFA and the big players, like, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. No, I... Mm.
If the fans keep watching the game, then, well, they won't change.
I don't know. It's going to be... I think what's also going to be very interesting is seeing all of these big content creators when it comes up to them finishing the round they're currently on and moving to the next one. Are they going to stay with D&D?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to enact the contingency plan that probably 90% of them made and go to Pathfinder or go to one of the other... Because there's some really good systems out there.
Oh, yes.
Like, go to some of the other systems. Like, I'll give a shout-out here to Adventure Zone, the McElroy brothers. They do some interesting ones that are based off... And they've used a few different systems, and some of them are really cool.
I have heard of some, like... what I consider to be blatant ripoff of D&D, just changing the abilities by a slight name.
Well, apparently, do I want to get into this? Yeah, we decided I didn't. in a nutshell, go and have a look at what's actually copyrightable in IP law around this. Yeah.
But yeah, I have heard, like, I've heard various, like, actual play podcasts and YouTube, like using words like, oh, yeah, roll for diplomacy instead of, like, roll for
diplomacy sounds like what Boris Johnson would say walking into a negotiation.
It's a role for persuasion, obviously, if you're playing.
No. That was Liz Truss and she got a natural one. The moral of the story is corporations are greedy, but also fuck you, corporations.
Sure.
But from, should we say from one magic shape-shifting to another?
Okay.
And head into the bag for the day?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yay, let's go and talk to Banjo.
So it's time to you bring on our guest for today, I guess. So what's the topic today, Zai?
Today is Transformation King.
Cool. And for Transformation, we have got the king of many, many transformations. It's Banjo.
Hello. How dare you? I have no idea what you're on about.
But yeah, we're talking about Transformation King, which is a very wide topic, so we are not going to be able to hit everything. But Banjo, I know that this is something that you... I'm going to use the word dabble, but I feel like that's not quite encompassing enough. This is something that you dabble in.
Yeah, I guess dabble, because there's that many that I just sort of like dip a toe every now and then. And certain months are themed, so that's a lot more heavy. Chris smiling there. Yes, that month.
Yep. That month.
For the uninitiated monsters.
It's October, where we all get very green and zug-zug and very primal. And
it's interesting. I feel like transformation's something that is quite pervasive in kink, but we don't really talk about too much. Because I think there's also a lot of it that's... There's a lot of, like, oh, like, the sub, like, being modified by the sir and sort of growing to the sir's needs, etc. And while I know that's not, like, the extent that we're necessarily going to talk to today, it's interesting how there's always a little bit of it there under the surface that people don't necessarily immediately think of.
No, 100%. Like, for me, it's just, it all roots in headspace. It all has a root in... I am now going to be X. I am now going to have this persona, have this sort of headspace, have this. And that can link literally to dom and sub headspace or whatever that term is. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I go sort of mutt headspace versus pup, it becomes a lot more sort of like, right, I know I don't have to think about taxes. Great.
You think about taxes? Well, so, okay.
No. If I was to say to you, sort of, how would you sort of refine the idea of a transformation kink down to sort of try and like explain to someone like what it is to you in like a sentence or two?
So it's basically just the idea of becoming something other than yourself, mostly something a bit more fantastical or a bit more out there than what you can actually be. Like, you can put on a suit or you can put on a rugby kit and you're a rugby player or something, but if you, for example, a lot more of it is like being a giant blueberry, being a big green orc, like being something, like being a big dumb clown. It's like there's a lot more. I love that I'm sort of like, big dumb. There is a correlation between a lot of the things that I do. Shush.
Banjo is our favourite.
Yay.
Do nothing.
let Craig is going to write letters.
Oh yes. Like Banjo being the first person to have both, other than host, to have been on both shows.
Oh, am I? Oh, but, yay.
So, oh. Sorry, go on.
But yeah,
no, that was it.
I think, you know, a few of the topics that we have done before, like, kind of links to transformation as well. So, for example, like the superhero fetish, right?
Yeah,
when it's an actual absolutely. Superhero, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's that. Yeah, that's the thing. The amount of people that I see that will put on like a muscle suit as part of that, which completely changes how their body is, because it enhances that kind of headspace, and they'll go into those kind of like scenes. There's like, I think it was, there's a Twitter page which is incredibly terrible. Superhero okay. Destroyer. They are filthy. Filthy. but they just go all in with, because then superheroes, what do villains do? How do they capture them? It links into like bondage, it links into brain draining, it links into submissiveness, all that kind of level of stuff.
Okay, I kind of need to go and look this one up.
They're really good.
I've got a feeling like there's always that thing when, you know, the villain kind of goes into, oh, I've got to extract a cum from the superhero or something.
I've seen that kind of thing on like Pornhub, etc.
Yeah, I mean, like I've seen a lot of things that I wish I didn't see on Pornhub that are similar. Pop culture okay. should not be used like that.
And yet pop culture seems to inform so much.
But does it have to? I don't know if you know it, but as obviously the Pokemon one.
Sure.
Where there's the person with the Pikachu.
I've not seen it, but I can imagine.
Yep. And there's an American dad with a Roger.
Oh.
For the audio audience, my face just dropped. Sorry. I always forget this isn't video.
I was wondering if you were buffering, yeah.
Okay, no, I didn't know that one was a thing. Oh, no, I tell you which one I did know was a thing, and I really wish I didn't. The Rick and Morty one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Not anymore.
I moving swiftly away.
Yes, wait.
So I've looked at some of this stuff before, and it's always fascinating to me how much of a escapism element there is to some of it. And some of it can get really freaking wild. So, like, I think one of the earliest ones that I was aware of was like micro/macro, like transformation okay. fetish. Mm-hmm. So like shrinking people, growing people, etc. Giantess, etc. I think that's one of the earliest ones that was like, oh
yeah. It thing is, like, I know we sort of joked about pop culture, but a lot of people's fascinations and certain subgenres even.
Oh, gotcha.
Fall out of pop culture.
Absolutely.
So for that. I mean, immediately there's episodes of like Tom and Jerry, Warner Brothers cartoons, like all sorts there. Blueberries, it all stemmed from literally one scene, but it is now an entire subgenre. Yeah. yeah, like I forgot to get the source, but apparently, have you ever seen this cartoon Totally Spies?
I have, yeah. I
think so.
It basically, I can't remember how exactly they worded it, but someone said Nickelodeon uses it in groups with their animators to say, this is how kinks are born, because there are that many like kinks that get done in Totally Spies.
It's oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But it gets used as a... It gets used in like... Hi guys, just to let you know, kind of setting. I don't know whether it's be aware that this happens or try not to.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to seriously need a source on that, because that's far out. That's...
I will try find it.
I mean, it makes sense. It, not necessarily that particular show, but like the pop culture thing. I think we've spoken before on the show, Chris. Like, it does make sense. Like, there's a lot of military stuff for guys our age, etc. 90% of the guys I knew grew up with Action Men, etc. You know? Like, there's the whole... honestly, like, the whole transformation thing. Like, I know I grew up reading the books like Animorph and cartoons on TV. Like you say, the Tom and Jerry, the sort of... God, some of it was just out there, like Transformers, etc. Like, it was a whole thing of being something else for...
Oh, yeah, totally.
At least a decade, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's pantheons of it. Like, you'll see, obviously, Space Pop Silver will have some obscure reference that just is then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, cool. It's the... someone else did... Oh, I think he did the... When where Daffy Duck is like a has like a flower head and then a green body.
Oh yeah,
it's yeah, early stuff.
That's a Pokemon now, isn't it?
A what?
Probably.
there's one particular like Pokemon fans will know which one I'm talking of. There's a fossil Pokemon that's like a weird. I always call it a dildo flower.
Oh, Petalil. Right. Yeah, yeah. But again, Pokemon Bill. When he goes through the fly basically, and turns into a Clefairy.
Oh shit! I'd forgot about that.
Yeah.
Good point.
Oh fuck yeah! Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just having a moment here because I completely forgot about that.
Detective Pikachu. What's the big?
Yeah.
What does the big bad do?
Yeah.
Turn everyone into Pokemon.
Was that? I wanted to know if that movie was a thing for the furries. Because like that's not my community at all, but I can see how it absolutely would have been.
I never really saw much about it. I thought it was cool.
Oh no, I loved the movie. Don't get me wrong. Just like it just occurs to me, like it's kind of like.
Not sure.
You're becoming the Pokemon. You're becoming the like fursona sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Go in terms of like actual kink play. Like how do you actually do it in a scene and that kind of thing? You
know? It depends on the thing, but like okay, taking Orc for example, tusks are in. Sure. You're in sort of more heavy leather. What's the scene going to be? Are you capturing some poor NPC who can only speak in three phrases? Are you in a sort of D&D situation where suddenly you've just completely rolled wrong and the orc is getting kidnapped and tortured and all sorts of things? But like or is it painting session where it's sort of body paint where you're turning each other into one by just like painting on each other could go any millions of ways.
Sure,
you know I'd love to do that. The body painting thing, like it looks like such good fun. There's
a account
I used to follow on, I think it was on Hickstube of all places, and it was a guy who did. He had gold body paint, and he would do himself from head to toe. Including, I don't know how he did it. Please don't do this at home, because clearly this guy had a way of doing it. I want to say safe. I'm assuming it was safe. Please don't do this at home, but like including his eyes. And it was simultaneously like a really freaky thing to see, but there was something kind of hot about it. And it was like that sort of golden statuesque type thing. There's like seeing like an embodiment of, well, not like bronze, but sort of that embodiment of sort of like the hot figures, etc., that you'd have seen in pantheons, etc.
Yeah, no, I know the type of stuff you're on about. But again, that kind of statues, like pick any kind of cartoon that had like a, oh, they got turned into a statue thing. You know, there's a bunch of stuff like that. But yeah, like, body painting's a massive one. for that kind of stuff. But then, so like blueberries, there's whole rubber suits that are literally made for that. And that's a form of bondage, is because you physically have your arms sort of restrained in that kind mm-hmm. of way, and you are in that kind of position. So that becomes its whole thing. There's loads about superheroes getting put in that kind of place, which is very fun. It all links.
Also,
it all links.
There's links to like human furniture side of things and all that kind of. Like, I know a guy who's really into the idea of being like essentially used as a piece of furniture. And like if he had a TP scenario, like he'd be open to like tattoos and things on the idea that furniture sort of thing. Again, please play safe, guys, but still, like, you know, it's fascinating. It really is. And it comes back to what I said earlier. It's just like, it's one of those things that I hadn't really thought of until we came to do this, just how much it really is in everything to some degree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just immediately said, like, furniture, and I went to DragCon the other weekend, and mm-hmm. Novimpia were there, and they're behind the famous I'm a washing machine, uh-huh. lampshade on the head video, and they had the lampshade, and that immediately was where my mind went to, not someone being used as a footrest, but fucking lampshade. My mind is
red. Oh, you're on this podcast, that was already guaranteed. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. But actually, that makes me think of another one. There's another one that I think you might have spoken on Kinky Boys about it, or I've heard about it on Kinky Boys. The whole like Halloween transformation into like ghouls and monsters side of thing. Like, there's a name for it, and it's escaping my mind at this moment.
Yep.
Like, is it Monster Fucker?
I don't know a name for it, but probably. Oh, that sounds like Buster. That sounds like Buster.
Shout out to Kinky Boys.
It might have. Yeah, because I think that was the. I think I know that. Yeah, because that was the one where the t-shirt came from. The mm-hmm. thick as shit himbo orc. Yeah,
the orc one is quite a common one, though, I'm finding.
But there's like, I think there's a few months that are sort of like things, because you've got mermaid.
Wait, no, I didn't know this. Please tell me more.
Oh, it's just, I don't know how much in terms of like TF, but like where just loads of people get art of themselves as mer people.
I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is a thing I need to do. I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah, mermaid. April.
Ugu. Okay.
Yeah, monkeys. Hoggest.
Oh, these are brilliant. These are brilliant.
Yep.
Pigs.
September, if you want to keep going.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, we need to do October. A calendar next year, Chris. Chris, this is a thing we need to do. We need to start working on this now. We need to put together a fetish calendar for next year. Just like of all the various, like...
Grovember.
Grovember. Ah, awesome.
Yeah.
December, obviously.
December.
There's a bunch.
Okay, yeah. This is a thing we're doing. This is a thing. I'm going to call it now, because this is a thing we're doing.
Next month is February, or this month when we're...
Oh, no. Go. That's terrible.
Wait.
Yes.
I love it. Don't get me wrong, but that's terrible. That's why I love these things, though. Like, the King community has such a way with, like, really, like, just cringeworthy puns.
I think it might be there's Grovember and there's also Movember, I think.
Movember.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to find someone to do me as a cow daddy.
D Do not tempt me.
Dronery? No.
Oh, drone.
Dronery?
I think there's a drone one. I think. Oh, there's that many.
There's anyway, yeah.
Oh, these are really cool. These are really terrible puns, but these are really cool to know. These are things I didn't know were a thing.
And you get on the weird side of the internet, you find out all sorts.
I try and stay away from that place. It's scary.
The internet. I'm there. Okay, point taken.
Yeah. So you say it's like a headspace thing. So is it like when you're doing it in person, you've got like the tusks and things and there's a very physicality to it. One thing, transformation kink specifically, is there's also a really big role play element to it. And sort of there's a lot of this that, and it's kind of where I've engaged with it a little bit, where like there's this thing where you'll be talking to a guy and you'll be engaging in this sort of, you'll be almost like setting this scene and sort of each of you are your respective part as if it's, I don't know how to, like, almost like a, you're doing a stage play through text, huh? If that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's a lot very, you do end up learning sound effects and how to type sound effects well, very quickly. especially, so like blueberries, I'll put for example, you learn how to sort of do different types of belches and burps and glugs and blah, 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 and making.
I'm sorry, can you make that noise again?
Gurgles and stuff.
We're audio clipping that sound with the soundboard. Okay,
we're clipping that. That's going on the soundboard, yeah.
God's sake. But you.
I'm sorry.
God's sake. Oh, you learn to make those sounds in text. I don't know if, Chris, you've had this with like orc stuff, but you have that kind of like different ways of grunting and growling and stuff. Like you learn different, because just going grr every single time feels boring to yourself, even. So you sort of go grr, but then a hung, and then a murf, and all sorts of like how do you sound that out in a way that someone's gonna like understand it. So it just, you sort of do that, and it kind of brings you into it a lot more. It brings you into that kind of world, and like I don't really watch porn, I read it, just because of there's that visual that gets brought along with you. I'll read about so and so going through a whole scene from being some like muscle jock bro into like a dirty piggy farmhand. You obviously can't film that scene unless the person is going through that, and you can only do it in one take, really. But reading that and having like some visuals, like some pictures as a caption to go, that's a really sort of like, I sort of write that every now and then as a bit of a fun thing, but it's that's where that kind of vibe comes through.
So some of the my experience with it is like the it's on the like more the humiliation side, the small penis humiliation side and all that kind of thing. There's a couple of guys that I know that sort of, they like the idea of sort of like and a magic of some sort, whether it's a potion, spell, whatever, sort of being the cause of them to shrink, sort of thing, and they being like talking through that process as they're experiencing it, that kind of thing, which has always been an interesting one to.
Yeah, you're guiding them into that humiliation as well. You're going, oh, well, look at that, and you describe it, and then they visualize what you've described. You have taken control of that imagery. They may have gone, oh, it's only a 2-inch knob. No, it's a 1-inch knob. 2 inches was far too big for you. How dare you? How dare you think that this potion was that ineffective, you absolute idiot? No, It's 1 inch. Actually, no. Oh, look, it's gotten 1 centimeter. Oh, you poor thing. Like,
and that's
you lead them down that rabbit hole. Sorry, that was the evil side of me coming out.
No, that's fine. I'm just sitting here cross-legged. But no, and that's kind of where my only real dabbles with it have come from. And it's kind of fascinating seeing how much more is out there. Sort of, I was joking just before we came on air, so it's like, I've not really done any research for this, but sort of, there has been sort of that thing of like, I know this is coming up, and you know that whole, there's a name for the effect, and I can't remember what it is, but like, if you buy a new car or a new piece of clothing or something, you will suddenly see it a lot more around you sort of thing. And it's not that you're seeing it more, it's just you notice it. So I've been on Twitter this last couple of days, and like, it's everywhere. It really is. The chastity community is full of it.
Yep.
Absolutely full of it. Like, and there's one, their stuff is prolific through that community. And anyone who's like in the chastity community probably knows who I'm talking about, quite frankly, because they deal with like the transformation side of things and sort of long-term locks and all that kind of thing through storyboards, etc. And it's just like, holy shit, this stuff is everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the other thing as well with Twitter and like kind of basically modern technology. Like all the 3D artists ever come out with all sorts of like really like kind of pretty realistic looking images. So
I mean, there's the availability of photo editing software is has created so much, like, how I've not even mentioned them, donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like,
well, it was the whole thing first for a while, wasn't it? Like, the term was horse hung. And it seems to have just, like, sprung out from there, as far as I've seen.
Donktober, there's another one.
Donktober. I need a full calendar of this. I do. I need a full calendar of this.
But like the amount of people that will just sort of edit ears onto people, or just slight visual sort of bits on your faces and stuff. Like, there's someone who actually creates filters on Instagram, which will sort of transform your face. Yeah. Which is super cool. And you can, like, stop at halfway points and you're like, oh, that's a really good halfway, so I'm not quite animal yet, but I'm still kind of people. Let me take some spicy pictures.
I didn't know that was a thing. Okay. I might have... Was that Instagram or Snapchat or what?
Instagram. I will send you the link.
No, I'm going to have to go and look at that. That's kind of... That's interesting. Because these things always fascinate me. Like, the fact that, like, we're at the point that we can do that sort of real-time manipulation, I guess would be the word, like, on the phone now is always, like, really cool anyway. And then the fact that, like, people are taking it to that degree, that's always fun to see.
Yeah. It's insane. But it's super fun. And, like, while commissions are great, it's a cost-effective way of seeing that kind of thing as well. And...
But it's interesting, though, because, Chris, you mentioned the digital artists, etc.
Yeah.
And I wonder, with, like, the muscle growth ones, and I'm just spitballing here, like, is there maybe a risk when it comes to, like, body image and a goaling sort of thing with how people perceive these things? Because some of these things look really good, but they're not realistic proportions, etc.
Anything to do with body transformation, you do have that problem of it not being realistic whatsoever.
I get what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that. Yeah,
like I just would say there's a suspension of disbelief that sort of goes hand in hand with the people that I've interacted with anyway that are into that sort of area. So sort of being knowing this is an edit of this. Obviously people will sort of see certain ones and be like, oh, that'd be a good goal, but I think for the most part, I've never seen someone go, yes, must now obsess over this like yeah. one image of myself, unless it is people that have taken it to the extreme where you have on like the
yeah.
morning programs that are like, I went to like this country where it's there's no regulations on plastic surgery and this and that, but they're
and you see that's the thing that I was like worrying in the back of my head, because it's like you see I will call this practice out because it is dangerous, like the silicone enhancements that some people get, and it is dangerous. I'm sorry, you know, there is a high risk of mortality with it. And, like, that's the kind of thing that sort of, you know, because you see these extreme cocks, etc. And just that little thing in the back of my head, maybe people should be a bit more cautious in terms of being aware of that, I guess. I mean, like, that's a potential negative, but, like, looking at a positive side of some of the transformation stuff that gets done, and you were saying about the filters, I remember a few years ago now when, I can't remember if it was Instagram or Snapchat, that were doing the masculine and the feminine filter, where people would like be able to see like their opposite gender type of thing.
Yeah.
And I remember that some trans people were finding that really sort of like gender euphoric, because they were able to see a version of themselves that embodied what they were aiming
who they are, yeah.
to that, yeah, in terms of like yeah. what they were sort of, what's the wording that I'm looking for? What they were,
end goal.
Yeah, thank you. That's
in a roundabout term, yeah. And the sort of end goal, this is who I am. I yeah. see that and see myself.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I was trying to get to, but I'm tripping over my words.
Sorry.
And it's,
yeah. Whereas for transformation, fascinating how, like, whereas for transformation, like, guys tend to like have an awareness, okay, yeah, this is fantasy, this is, you know, not actually happening, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like my earliest were my namesake. And I know that I'd never turned into an ant or a crocodile or anything, or that I'd sort of run around knowing that a big green witch turned into Posh Spice, but still, we can hope.
But mind you, how many of us as kids, like, that was the beauty of imagination? As a kid, you pretended you were whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that thing that we'd, like, there's a lot of play in good interaction, to be fair. Like, there's a lot of people that, like, fetish community and not, it's just like, oh, like, there'll be that playfulness. And it's kind of just an extension of that playfulness into the kink world.
And I mean, like, even being more sort of like kink-centric, where rubber drones.
Exactly.
Having that sort of like, having that identity taken away, that kind of level of just seeing nothing. Or there's people who sort of like, I've seen some pictures where it's like leather full suit, but then like the face is just blank. Like it's either rubber or leather sort of face.
I love those photos.
And it's, yeah, it's just like, but that's, again, it's a level of it, because it, stripping of identity as well can sometimes be that level of, no, I'm now blank canvas, but can still have that autonomy of, because that leather sort of thing is now just dominant. It will now dominate you. That is all it thinks about.
See, there's another side of that as well, and I can't believe I'm about to make this reference in this particular... I can't believe we've not made this reference yet, actually. So that particular, like, black rubber mask thing under leather, it's also like being able to project yourself on it. And now all that I've got in my head is, you know that scene from Captain America where his face is reflected on the soldier's body?
Yeah.
Like you're talking about transformation, like from weedy nerd to, well, Chris Evans and that ass. But you know, how have we not touched on that one yet?
Yeah,
I mean, it's been on the back of my mind.
Oh, I think it's on the back of everyone's mind in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, superheroes. Like, you've got the Beast from X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, like, Beast Boy from Teen Titans. Like, in it, any sort of, like, you know, that whole, like, Spider-Man. Like, any kind of, oh no, suddenly, like, scene. Werewolves. Like, any scene like that, that has that level of just being something else, but going through that as well.
Yeah. I think it's like, pop culture has, like, taught us, like, there's a lot of just normal people being thrown into impossible situations and just become something else. That's that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, actually, because you brought up X-Men, and X-Men was an analogy for the queer community. And it's kind of fascinating how that comes full circle to some degree.
Yeah.
Hmm. Is that life imitating art or vice versa? You know?
It is. It is just mental. But yeah, like, it goes all the way back to werewolves and vampires. In Lord knows when.
Bram Stoker has a lot to be responsible for.
Mary Shelley as well,
Although, to be fair, those are concepts that go back even further than that. It's just that's the one that everyone knows. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good look at it, to be fair.
Oh, without going into any specific ones, which we don't want to.
Well, that's for a future show.
Exactly.
We'll get into that. I want to hear more about Blueberry.
It's insane that literally one scene from a movie has created an entire, like, subgenre. There's, like, a Discord that I am a part of that is just dedicated to it. Like, full of people in it. Because you don't even need to...
Can a fetish be a meme?
Oh, yeah.
Or more to the point, can a meme be a fetish?
Ooh. Not sure that way.
Because I think that's maybe a prime example.
I mean, if... we mentioned him. If there's anyone that can prove that a fetish can be a meme, it's Silver.
True. Silver, if you're listening.
I don't know. But yeah, I think a lot of it just, it does, for a lot of people nowadays, it does stem from some kind of weird awakening in pop culture. That's kind of where someone's sort of vision has snowballed into whatever they're into. You can probably pinpoint it back to X cartoon or movie or thing that they read, or just sort of, like, people will talk about, like, adverts. Like, there'll be ones for restaurants where people just go back and they just get bigger and bigger, or ones for, like, fruit flavored sweets and their heads turn into giant fruits. Was that Orbis?
I know the one you're talking about. Opal Fruits, that's the one.
Was that...
It was Opal Fruit. It was Opal Fruit. And for those that don't know what Opal Fruit are, Starburst, because they ruined the name. Although I think they're still called Opal Fruits in the States.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a pretty comprehensive sort of broad scale. We might get you back on to talk about a few more of these specific ones.
Always happy to.
Yeah. Thank you very much, my dear. If people want to find you, where can they find you, Banjo?
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Banjo Stewie. That's Banjo, like the instrument or like the bear, and Sierra Tango Uniform India Echo for Stewie.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I think with that, Chris, it's about, speaking of X-Men and things, it's about time we got into the 5-Minute Marvel, because there's been a lot.
Has there? Huh.
So from one constantly evolving, transforming thing to the hey, 5-Minute Marvel, and the embiggening and shrinking that is Ant-Man... Quantum.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the three people who are doing that now, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, more than three, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyone who has pimp particles technically can do it.
I mean, we've seen Hawkeye doing it at this point, just not to himself, so, you know.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Okay, like, nutshell opinion before we get into the nitty-gritty?
I don't know why he's reviewed so badly.
I do, but I think it's being very harsh.
Yeah. Nothing the reviews said have been unreasonable, but it's still, you know, it's not that bad.
So I think it's
certainly not the worst ever movie.
Oh no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It is not Thor: The Dark World. However, I think people were expecting more of the tone of maybe Ant-Man 1 or 2 as a bit of a palate cleanse, because this was kind of the return to the characters that people know.
But is it just people's expectations, or is it an actually fair judgment on a film?
I think it's just people's expectations.
Yeah.
There were moments in that film that gave me literal chills.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments in that film that gave me actual chills, because, like, the whole thing of, like, spoilers if you're this far in, the whole thing of, like, Kang sat on the throne, just slumped across it, I lost it, because that was ripped straight from the pages.
Hmm. Yeah. I like this being a relatively kind of separate story from everything else.
Yep.
It happens over, you know, the space of a day or two. We don't know how much time they've actually spent in the Quantum Realm. Yep. That's the whole point of the Quantum Realm. But, you know, yeah, it's relatively inconsequential in terms of a surface world. Well, that's fine.
I think there's also an element of the fact that the last two Ant-Man movies have been semi-comedic relief.
Yeah.
This one wasn't. This was very serious. And I think that's the other thing that's duped a lot of people.
But I don't really care.
No, agreed. I'm exactly the same as you. I don't care. It was a good movie.
Yeah, I don't really care. Like, Thor 1 and 2 were very serious. 3 was very comedic, but 3 was very good. And 4 was 4.
You know what really shocked me?
What?
It's the first Marvel movie I've watched on release day that I've not sat there and immediately been able to spot something slightly off in the CG.
Okay.
I'm not saying there wasn't things, just like, usually it's a very obvious thing and I can't ignore it. That wasn't the case this time.
Well, okay. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people are complaining about MODOK.
Yeah, but are they complaining about the CG, or are they complaining about the way they've handled that character?
I don't know. I've seen some people being unhappy about how Darren is just blowing up his face and calling it a day. Well, yeah, that's... Well,
I mean...
I don't mind that.
Here's the thing. This was the only logical way I could see them doing MODOK.
Mm.
Because MODOK was human, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yeah, that is correct.
The only way they have the technology in the universe to do the whole, like, oversized head, tiny little body, etc. thing is via the Pym particles. Mm. And they've got a character there that they kind of already exposed to them in such a way that you could make that thing of, hey, freak accident.
Yeah. And... I don't see how else they could. They didn't have to bring MODOK in at all, anyway, but yeah.
No, I agree, and I will say he's a little Trevor Slattery, because you know my opinion on him in Shang-Chi. I was not a fan of the way they used that character. There's a little bit of that in there, but I don't think it's worth the hate it's getting at all. I think people are being overly harsh.
Yeah.
Quick thing before we run out of time, though. We got the fastball special in the MCU, even though they didn't call it that. Yay!
Excelsior!
But yeah, that was the 5-minute Marvel.
Yay!
Well, with that, shall we move on to the joysticks then?
Yeah.
What's on your joystick, Chris?
On my joystick is still Midnight Suns, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting to the end of the game.
It's a surprisingly long game.
It's a really long game, actually.
And yeah. I actually like that. It's nice to actually have a long-form, single-player narrative story again. Because, like, we don't get that many these days.
Yes, you do.
Full-on long-form like that?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
I would say Guardians of the Galaxy was a very... was a decently long game.
Okay, fair enough. You see, I didn't play Guardians.
And that was single player.
Okay.
There are definitely these games, single player games. Single player games are becoming more of a rare breed, for definite.
Let me ask you this, since you've put many, many more hours into it than I have so far.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still enjoyable, like, however many hours that you are in? Because you're in the tens of, if not hundreds, hours at this point.
Combat is still good. Some dialogues I would skip through.
To be fair, I think that's just the nature of the game.
Yeah, because, you know, I can read the subtitles at the bottom. And
I mean, that and, like, who doesn't skip through them in a dating sim?
Who doesn't what?
Who doesn't skip through some of the dialogue in dating sims?
Sure.
I'm sorry, that game has a full dating simulator underneath it. You're not going to convince me otherwise. In fact, I'm fairly convinced that game started out as a dating simulator and they went, yeah, we really should put some combat in this game about superheroes that fight people.
I mean, yeah. I think at the end it just becomes a massive orgy, doesn't it?
I mean, you tell me, you're the one that's going to get there. I mean, can we quickly, I know it's a little bit of tea, I guess, but can we quickly touch on things that are completely fucked by going good night and fuck off to the Avengers game?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because Square Enix shut that down.
Yep.
Square Enix are going on a rampage right now, shutting down a lot of their live services, and this is why we don't like live service games.
I know.
I'll be honest. It lasted longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, you could see that coming from a mile off. But
the only thing is, I am kind of sad I didn't play it now. Not really.
I mean, exactly. Like, I played for a little bit and I could barely get through a few hours.
It's that thing that I'll watch video game like playthroughs of it in the background at some point.
Also, Midnight Suns has got good representation as well.
It does. Even early on, to be fair, it actually has really good. I will say of Midnight Suns, because I looked at that set of heroes, or at least what was advertised of that set of heroes early on.
Yep.
And I looked at it and went, that's an odd set of choices. And then I started looking into some of the context of it and went, okay, this makes a bit more sense.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw the characterizations and went, oh.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get it now.
Yeah. It does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The way they presented it throughout the game, it makes total sense.
And it's not shoved down your throat either, which I really like.
Hmm.
It's like, hey, this is a thing that just happens to be part of me. Carry on. You know, the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy with... really happy with Midnight Suns. So that was my joystick, so it's probably going to be the last time I talk about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm about to finish the game. DLCs are coming, but... here we go.
I'm looking forward to the DLC. The DLC's got Deadpool. What is it? Deadpool, Sabretooth, Venom, and someone else?
Storm, I think.
Is it Storm?
I thought
either it was Storm. I'm looking forward to it.
Is it Sabretooth?
I think it's. I don't know. Okay. I might be mistaken on that. It's definitely got Deadpool and Venom.
Yeah, I am relatively confident on Storm. But anyway, what's on your joystick?
I'm going to be a little bit naughty and put two out there. Because one's just very quick. Obviously, moving house, not had much time. However, what I have found time for, and the reason I'm bringing this up is just as a two-finger fuck you towards Hasbro, is a game on my phone called Fleet Battle Sea Battle by Smuttlewreck Interactive that's on the Play Store for Android.
Sorry, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's multiplayer battleships, as in the board game battleships, and it's good fun.
Okay, by multiplayer, do you mean two-player?
I do. It's free to play as well. There are microtransactions, there are advertisements. You can turn the adverts off for £5.
Sure.
I've paid that £5.
That's reasonable.
You know, that was a price that I was happy for the game, and it's pretty well put together. I'm not going to say it doesn't ever have a bug. It does once in a while, but, you know, every game does.
Exactly.
You know, I'm happy with it, and it's also a fuck you to Hasbro because they're not getting that money for whatever shitty version they decide to put out. Because, hi, Hasbro, you probably are, I think, and I'm not going to give you that money if you did. So, but then the other game that I've been playing, and I have only just started playing this, so I'm only going to kind of brush on it now and talk about it properly later.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two game types that describe what this game is first. So, you know the game Peggle?
Peggle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about Peggle turned into a roguelike?
What? That? What? I mean, they're turning everything into a roguelike now. To be fair, they're turning everything into a roguelike. They turn Kitchen Simulator into a roguelike, for fuck's sake. So,
so I'm playing a game called Peglin, which the gameplay is, like I say, it's pachinko, it's Peggle. Mm-hmm. That's the one that everyone will know. Except your different balls have different effects, and over the top of the pachinko area is a, you play this little pig thing that's the Peglin, and you are fighting various monsters and things as you progress through the worlds. It's only just come out of early access. It's really good fun. It's Peggle for people that wondered where original Peggle went before it got over monetized and turned into the shit show that it became on the shitty mobile port.
Yeah. Yeah, Peggle is kind of
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had good fun with it so far. I have a couple of my favorite balls. All of the ball names are puns on the on orbs.
Orbs. Okay.
On orbs.
Okay.
I can't remember any of them off the top of my head, but I'll, like, next time we talk about it, because I will end up talking about it at some point again, I will try and remember some of the actual orb names. Excuse me. I will try and remember some of the actual orb names. But yeah, like, it's a fun little way of, like, it's one of those simple games that, like, you can really get into and sink some time into it, but you can also just play a few quick rounds and just be done.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. I always like games that kind of, like, yeah, you can pick them and put down.
Yeah. I mean, it wants you to keep going and do, like, a full story sort of thing, but, you know,
yeah.
Literally, as we were setting up for this, once I had everything ready and I was just waiting for you to do a bit, I threw it on and I played a couple of rounds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's that kind of pick-up, put-down.
Yep.
Apparently, they have just announced that they are doing a mobile phone port and a console port for it, because at the moment it's PC only.
Okay.
I'm dreading the day they put it on mobile phone. I will get nothing done. I will get absolutely nothing done.
It does sound like the kind of game that would go well on mobile.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's, yeah, I'm dreading that. That will, I will, I will lose way too much time on that day. You know, there's games that some people take the day off work for.
Oh no.
I'm wondering whether that might be a thing just to get over the addiction.
No. No, it's not that bad.
But yeah, that's what's on my joystick at the moment. Like I said, okay. Nothing particularly big because I just haven't had time, but a couple, one's a fuck you and one's a fuck you because it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's everything.
I think that is everything.
Might be a little bit of a shorter one this week, I think. But we're back. We finally have.
I don't think this is short.
Yes.
I don't think this is short.
Well, excuse me. But no, Chris, since we are back, where can people find us on socials?
Yeah, so you can find us on socials, mostly on Mastodon these days, as TBNJ Podcast at wolf.group. That's, yeah. And you can also see our links on lnk.at/TBNJ Podcast.
Indeed. I forgot something. What have I forgot?
What have you forgot?
I don't know. I'm out of practice, so we're just going to go ahead and go. But for now, I have been Cy.
And I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for joining us. Sorry it's been so long, but we are back.
Yep.
Next show will come out when it's ready. I'm not going to quite say that we're back on.
I am not going to say 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm not going to say 2 weeks.
We are back. All right. Rest assured, yep. We are back.
Yeah, it won't be 2 months.
No, it won't. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
For now, that has been Teabags and Joysticks. I have been Cy.
I've been Chris.
Thank you next time. Very much for joining us, and bye. Goodbye.
This episode is edited by TBNJ Chris and Cy. Our guest is Banjo Stewie. Our sample comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is Court Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.
That's fine. Actually, that's a thought. Like, Banjo, how do you want introducing, my dear?
I do not mind. How do you mean?
Is there a particular term you would rather use? Is that, you know?
I've been called a million and one things. You know this.